one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
There it is. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You may be rooted and grounded in love. That's love, see. You may be able to comprehend or take in with all the saints what's the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ with priceless knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Well, we'll come to that again in this chapter in just a moment. Let's read on. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You say, you mean all that go together? Yes, sir. Patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Not just the darkness now, but the power of darkness, you see. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Think about it. We got translated. We got spiritually translated. Now, Enoch walked along with God one day. He was translated. Physically. Now, he said, we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that some kingdom to be in? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of his dear Son. We've been translated. Spiritually translated. In whom? There it is. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Reckon what all redemption include. Turn to Psalm 103. Will you do that? Job and Psalms and Psalm 103. I wonder how much redemption we've got. What all we got redeemed anyhow? Well, he said, I got my soul redeemed. Is that all? Well, that's great, but that's not all of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, verse 1. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth. There it is. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. The devil tried to destroy him today, didn't he? You said that might have been God, no? If God's trying to kill him, he'd kill him easy. Fact is, he could just put him to sleep last night and he'd woke up in heaven this morning. I doubt if the Lord seeks to destroy his people just by tearing the flesh apart. He can take the breath out of them, all right. I imagine experiences like that could be so destructive. They're works of the devil. And so he said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Have you ever had your life redeemed? Have you ever come right close to death and you felt like it's all over? And you just about lost your life and yet the Lord plucks you? Many times I've experienced that. I mean, many times. Oh, listen. Not all the times I've told you about, but there have been times when I tell you I was having a real brush. I mean, I could just about hear the angels singing. I mean, I was about ready to enter the heavenly choir. And the Lord reached down and said, not yet. Not yet. I mean, come on back. And he just kind of grabbed me and slipped me back and, yeah, he redeems my life. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Back to Colossians chapter 1. We haven't gotten to the text yet, but we're coming. Who hath delivered us, translated us, redeemed. Notice, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, talk about it. forgiveness of sins. All my sins are covered. I've been forgiven. I've been born again. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, now we're coming up to it, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. You remember the story I read about Mr. Darwin, Charles Darwin, evolution? And people still try to chew around on that old wore-out lie. And it is a lie. This settles it right here. Genesis chapter 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine anything running like the universe does and not having a cause or a causer or somebody that planned it? Think about the song a while ago, my father planned it all. And he did. Did you know, turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Where did the world come from? Who made it? What's holding it into being? We'll find that out also in Colossians 1 in a minute. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. There it is. All things. How many were made by Him? All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. No problem there. It takes faith to believe it. It takes faith to believe it. I believe it. I believe God made everything. You know why I believe it? It's because I'm a Christian. I have no trouble believing the Bible. Oh, you can call, and sometimes they call us robots, you know, because all of us have a similar experience in Christ. And people like to say, well, you've got to be mighty stupid to believe the Bible. No, you just need to be saved to believe the Bible. You get saved, I'll tell you what. You think of 40 years ago when the Lord called me into the ministry and the things that I've seen with these eyes and where I've been and what God has done and what He's had to start with and work with. Don't you tell me there's not a God. Don't you tell me that I'm smart enough to get anybody saved or to build homes and take care of thousands of people over these years. Let me tell you something, that's the work of grace. That's God's work. And I mean, He knows that I give Him the glory for it. I praise His wonderful name for all that He's done. And you can go out of here and lie and cheat and steal and say it's nothing to it. You won't faze me. I mean, they can line up. Listen, there could be 100 devils lined up and stick their tongue out at me. It wouldn't faze me because I can just try to... I mean, these infidels and atheists that are running loose in the country today, all these Satan worshippers and homosexual boys and laughing at a holy God, but I've already met Him. I know Him. And you couldn't take that away from me at all. No, sir. I mean, I believe I'd go in the lion's den for this. I believe I'd hit the fire furnace for this. And Jesus is still able and willing. And so He said, He's the image of the invisible God, for by Him are all things created in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by Him and why? For Him. This old world's pretty dumb the way we use things. Some of you folks think you can just kind of get selfish, you know, and just kind of take the dry rot. Did you know the cancer of American society? Selfishness and arrogance and conceit. We're about the proudest nation, I guess, in the world. Oh, listen, we've built our empire and empires, and we've dug the ocean depths for oil. I flew back 50, 75 miles out over the Gulf the other night. Listen, the Gulf of Mexico was lit up like cities. You know what it was? Oil wells. Oil wells. Why, you'd think, listen, they've made trails across that water. Those helicopters have landed out there at those rigs and those boats and so forth. And I mean, they've dug to the belly of the earth to get out the black gold. And they say, we've conquered the land and the sea and the air. I didn't know that. Looks to me like it's about conquered us. What we say we've conquered, we've polluted. Did you know that? And in the end, it'll bite like a serpent and sting like an adder. Listen, we have dissipated And we have literally raped the good things of earth, the water. Now then, did you know that even the fish are dying in the sea? They can't live. Even the old plastic bags that they've thrown out have killed the big sea animals and so forth, and the various things that are in the sea. They'd swallow those old plastic bags and they couldn't do anything with them. And so they're trying, and yet it's getting awful late, you know. See, man has ruined everything he's ever touched his selfish hand to. That's right. Did you know that the beautiful grain that they're growing now around Corpus Christi, you know what they're going to make out of that? Liquor. You know the corn and all the plants and the fine things that we got going. Did you know that all the grapes, most of the grapes that are grown in California, when those great semi, those big tall deals come along, do you realize that those grapes are going to the wine presses? Do you realize they're going to be turned into intoxicating beverages and make winos out of people? Man hadn't got enough sense to stay out of the fire because he's going to hell. Amen? Ah, listen to me. Girls, it's time for God's people to wake up and turn their face to Jesus. Now, verse 17, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. How old is Jesus? Well, I don't know, but he's before all things. He's before everything. We're coming to the text. He's the head. Amen. He's the head of the body. The church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He might have the preeminence. He might be the preeminent one. Did you know that'll solve your problems today? You daddy's sitting out there and friends out in Radio Land, do you know how to get your life straightened? You let Jesus have the preeminence. And we've got people today, it's strange, but the state more and more is deciding for the child instead of the parent. And that's where we're going to wind up. You watch and see. The state is going to take the side of the rebel and say to the little girl, 13, 14, 15, well, you need to know that you have some rights and your mother and daddy have no right to infringe on your rights. Well, I've got news for you, little smart aleck. I didn't know you spoke to have any rights. As long as you live under the roof of your mother and daddy. They've got more sense in a second than you'll have in the next 15 years. I mean, it's time for our young people to be put in their place, and the mothers and dads ought to do it. A little girl said to me, though, and I love this little girl, and I'm praying for her. You know what she said about her parents? She said they're cowards. You know what's wrong with that statement? It's the truth. Did you know that young people and you mothers and daddies might as well wise up a little bit? Did you know you'll never get your children to really respect a couple of cowards? You know why you respect Raymond Weatherford? He's not a coward. You know why you respect the preacher that's preaching? You know that I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. You may swell up and get mad, but you know down deep inside, I'm right about it, and it works, and you might as well line up. Until you do, you'll never be happy. And all I'm doing for your good. Don't you think I hated my dad just because he called me to some board meetings? My daddy, he taught me to dance with a razor strap, huh? Yeah, I'm not talking about this silly ballroom dancing. I was balling all right, but I mean, a little different. Yeah, but he loved me. My daddy loved me. Yes, he did. You know, I'll never forget the time when I just got with the wrong crowd, just like a lot of you. I really did, and I wanted to be one of them. I didn't want to be a little old simple country boy anymore. I wanted to be, you know, one of the little city dudes. Boy, they were smart, you know. I mean, they'd been around, and I hadn't. I was dumb as they come. Of course, I could chop cotton and work in the garden and ride a horse and milk a cow and things. But, I mean, I wasn't in the know. I mean, in the big city of Dawson, Texas, 849 population. But when I got over there in high school, you know, they taught me the deck of cards. See, my mother said, those things are mean, they're ugly, they're gambling cards. I scared of them. I really was. Man, they's nasty. People gamble with them old cards. I still hate them.
But
I got over there and they said, well, this is just what we do. And so they, you know, they just began to teach me. And my mother taught me that dice, oh, listen, they're gambling pieces and you wouldn't touch them. Don't you touch one of those things. I mean, I didn't for a long time. I got over there, you know, they said, well, we go to the drugstore, we just hide dice for the drink, see. And I thought, boy, that's sort of smart. I'll be one of them, see. Had a one-armed bandit. You ever seen a one-armed bandit? You know what a one-armed bandit is? Huh? Yeah, slotting machine. Talk about dumb. When I look back at the dumb things I've done, I marvel at God's even letting me live. I'd go up there and my mother would give me a dozen red Rhode Island eggs and say, son, you go sell them now and you take the money. And I'd just get 10 cents, two buffalo nickels. She'd give me a pound of the most beautiful yellow butter that she'd made from that Jersey cow, and I can see it now. You talk about firm and nice. She'd say, son, you sell this pound of butter to Mr. F.B. Holloway, and you get 15 cents, and that's three nickels, and you can have that. That's your spending money. Now, that made the quarter right there, didn't it? I mean, a dozen eggs, pound of butter. I was pretty well loaded when I got that. You know what I did? I walked right down that little silly, sinful, sorry, stinking drugstore, walked back in the back. That old one-armed bandit standing there looking at me. And I was looking at it. I reached down in my pocket. I pulled out that buffalo nickel. And I said, I'm going to put one nickel in you. And that's all. I mean, I'm not gonna give five nickels to that outfit, but I hope I'll just kind of, you know, that thing will begin to turn and all them lemons line up or oranges or something, you know, and then, I can just hear it. Man, that thrilled me and things, all them things fall out of there, you know, maybe 12 of them, 8 of them, 16 nickels at one time, you know. And I thought, boy, and that thing began, I wound up by putting all of my buffaloes in there, every last one of them, and I walked away completely dry. I didn't have nothing. My mother worked for those eggs and that pound of butter. Wasn't I stupid? Not any more stupid than some of y'all. You've been gambling with your soul, with your body, your life. You've been playing with the hippie world, the dope world. You've been gambling. You lost. You never win in sin. I didn't ever win in sin. And on down the road, this little old country boy was going. Until one night, and I haven't often told this, one night some old boys were with me. And we went down to the carnival, and I tried to win chunking, you know, the deals. You remember that? Boy, I was a ball player. I mean, I could throw it straight. I'd kill the jackrabbit, hit him right in the head. I mean, with a rock. And I'd walk to the field throwing at posts and come back throwing. And I'd go down there and I decided, I don't know what happened. I guess I fell out with the carnival, but I cut the tent ropes. And wasn't very long till the old one-eyed constable or had that great Dane dog. Oh, that's the biggest dog I ever saw in my life. Every man in Navarre County, including Lester Roloff, was scared of that dog. Well, when old Joe McElroy come walking down the street and that old dog come walking along behind him, he could tell that old dog to go get something out of my pocket and I guarantee he'd get it. That old dog, you talk about a trained great Dane dog. And one day, he and that old dog come walking up to me. He one-eyed. I can see him now. Toughest man that ever enforced the law in Dawson, Texas, Navarre County. I mean, everybody in that whole county is scared of Joe McElroy. He come walking up to me, and he looked at me, and he said, Lester. I said, yes, sir. He said, I know what you did. You cut some tent ropes. Ooh, you talk about it. Man, I could almost feel the electricity from the electric chair. Scared me to death. And everybody knew my mother and daddy were reputable, wonderful, honest, hard-working, and Melvin and Edale were wonderful boys. And yet, little old mischievous, devilish Lester, see, was drifting down the stream, drifting on down the stream. Started off with his cards, his dice, and his carnivals and cutting of the tent rope, and it looked like my world caved in on me. Ah, the wages of sin, I thought, it's got me now. And that old man looked at me, and he didn't lock me up, but I tell you what he did do. He got in touch with my daddy. Now then, you're going to be surprised in a minute when I tell you what happened. Never forget it if I live a million years down here. And when I walked in, my daddy was standing on the back porch, the old screened-in porch. Had his hand up on the old hook where we hooked the old cedar water bucket. Water bucket sitting on the watershed, and he had his hand. I can see him now. When I come walking up on the little porch, opened the screen door and stepped inside. My daddy gave me a look that I've never had before since. Ordinarily, he would have had to raise his strap and waiting for me. But this time, my daddy was so shocked and so disappointed. And he saw me come, and I came like a whipped dog. I wish I could have gone in at the side door, any door besides that door, but Daddy was standing there waiting. My mother had taken her position in the kitchen door, and she stood almost like a dead mother, except for the tears that were rolling. And Dad said, "Son, I never heard such tenderness in my daddy in my life. Son, I thought I'd taught you better." That's all he said. I walked through the door, and when I did, my mother opened her mouth of mercy and said, "Son, I know it wasn't you. Some old boys you're running with." The thing that she didn't know, and I hated to tell her, it was me. It was me. And I tell you, I walked down that old long hall and went into the last bedroom on the left and had to take a look at me. I disappointed the two best friends I ever had, my dad and my mother. Yes, young people, the day's going to come. The day's going to come when God's going to remind you, and the old boomerang of your rebellion and disobedience to mother and dad's going to have to come home to you. And what a day that'll be. Jesus is your only hope. Let's read. This next verse is the one I'm going to leave with you as we close the message tonight. Today's the day of salvation, and now's the time.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The title of the message today is "How's Your Appetite?" Now, to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3464 and include a gift for $10 or more to help us with shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or you can write us, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Our special offer for the month of April is entitled "They That Sow in Tears." It is a collection of songs sung by various duets that were some of Brother Roloff's very favorites. Some of the songs sung are "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary," "They That Sow in Tears," "He Is So Precious to Me," "All Your Anxiety," "The Blood That Stained the Old Rugged Cross," and "My Jesus Knows," and many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number RO333, that's 33's, RO333, and a gift of at least $12 to cover the cost of shipping and handling. We would appreciate an additional gift to help the ministry continue on in your area. We also appreciate the many kind letters that we receive from day to day, and here's one that I'd like to share with you from Nashville, Tennessee, that reads something like this. "Dear friends, please receive the enclosed donation in addition to what I normally send. I thank you for your Spirit-directed program that does not blush to speak the name of Jesus. Your radio program is sorely needed, especially by me. I also thank the Lord for the other ministry that you have, and I pray that the Lord would continue to strengthen and direct this broadcast ministry." We certainly thank that friend from Nashville for that letter and for the other kind letters that we receive. We also appreciate you're listening to the broadcast every day and giving us the call letters to the radio station of which you're listening to. That is so important at this time. We thank you for your many kindnesses to keep the Family Altar program on the air, and those gifts certainly are needed at this time. Again, the offer is They That Sow in Tears, offer number RO333. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, the toll-free number, in case you would like to give us a gift by credit card, is 1-800-772-7507. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.